The Hidden Node for August the 18th, 2014. The 18th episode of the Dark Days of Podcasting. Still an episode behind. So, today was okay. All things considered. Wasn't a bad day at work. Got a decent amount of writing done. And got back into the pool again. We only did 2 days last week after kind of taking a week off the week before. But today, we were pretty active. Essentially just, becoming more and more active, more and more focused on, moving in there and getting some swimming in. We do normally go to the therapy pool at the wellness center / gym we go to, but this is normally a heated saltwater pool. Apparently their heater was broken, and the pool was pretty frigid, which actually was pretty awesome. Essentially, we still use that pool because, one, it's a good height for Patty to do her exercises and a good height for me to, kind of be only like a foot or two away to do mine, or a meter or two away, probably be better distance in there. But nobody else was coming into the pool. It was too cold, or I guess because people, well, typically they use that pool to relax after their workouts and just kind of relieve a little bit of stress in nice, warm salt water. And with it being nice and cold, nobody wanted to come in. It was great. Just a nice big pool to ourselves just to, do our exercise in. Had fun. I should mention, I still don't know completely how to swim outside of doing a kind of doggy paddling. But hey, I'm getting faster at that. So, one of these days I'll actually learn, some decent swimming techniques. But for now, I'm just focusing on doing my walking. And yeah, still pretty tired from it, even though it's been a few hours since then. But we're going to keep at it and work at getting this stuff off. I should mention, Patty suggested that I looked thinner after getting out of the pool than I had a few weeks ago, but I don't know about that. I'm still relatively the same weight. I do know I'm having an easier time in the pool and in general, but I'm not sure if I'm actually losing weight. I don't know about that. We'll see. I mean, it could be I'm building some muscles up, but I don't know. So today's topic. Well, technically speaking, we're still in the last third of 2005. But yesterday's episode, Hurricane, pretty much covered the real-life aspects of that. Let's talk about the virtual. Because, well, as I said before, the events of 2005, it afforded me the opportunity to change who I was in multiple ways. I've already explained, kind of the real-life aspects of that. But to speak of the virtual, well, let me talk first about the title of this episode. The title of this episode is Dystopia, Tactical Gamer, and Making Choices. Those two groups, Dystopia and Tactical Gamer, are pretty much the main groups I hung out with during that part of the year. So Dystopia is this really cool mod. How I talked before about how Team Fortress and Counter-Strike were some really fun games based off the Half-Life engine. Well, when Half-Life 2 came out, there was still a certain amount of mods that came out for that game. There was, the official Source engine for Valve. There wasn't as good, or at least as mainstream of mods. They didn't catch fire the way the Half-Life ones did. And honestly, the reason I think that is because, one, there was a lot more game developers out there. There's a lot more major games to compete with the mods. There's a lot more people who played first-person shooters on a console. So there wasn't really much hope for the console gamers out there. I'm sorry, for the PC modders out there. In terms of making a big splash hit, there has been a few here and there, but really the only one I can think of that has really stood the test of time is Gary's mod, which is another mod that, let me put it this way, Gary's mod probably the reason most of the mods never really developed for Half-Life 2, because it was essentially a kind of modding API graphical interface within, you know, Half-Life 2. There's a lot of mini-games in it that you can still find within Gary's mod to this day. A lot of games that would have been their own mod within Half-Life 1. And to me, it was kind of like, well, they've made their choice, and it kind of reduces their visibility. So, Dystopia was one of the few that managed to make a little bit of a presence. I think had Dystopia come along in the Steam environment of nowadays, where it's available as a quick, easy download, it might have been a major title. But as people were getting more used to picking games up through direct downloading and not having to worry about the maintenance themselves, mods like Dystopia didn't last. Not as big titles. So what is Dystopia? Dystopia is a really cool, well, I'm obviously thinking cool, I've been talking about it so much. Dystopia is a team versus team game, corporations versus rebels. Concept is you have three classes people can pick from: heavy, medium, and light. The heavier you are, the more armor your character has, but the less implants they can take. The lighter you are, the more implants you can take, but the more damage you can take. Essentially, you're trading functionality and specialization in favor of heavy firepower and heavy armor. Why does specialization and utility matter within that? Well, Dystopia had the really cool function of being playable in two spaces. The meat space, where you run around shooting people and hitting them with, you know, nano katanas, and a virtual kind of matrix space. And when I say matrix, I'm talking Shadowrun Matrix, not the Keanu Reeves Wachowski brothers thing. Think, the way I can describe its appearance is, think kind of Lawnmower Man, like the CGI from that. That's how it was in the game, and it really worked for the theme of Dystopia. It was, the game was the strange tactics you had to do, because, well, more often than not, you know, you went hacking in there where your body's left behind. So while you're dealing with enemy hackers inside, your teammates are defending your body, because if they're not, well, you're probably not going to survive. You know, you may be able to kill hackers inside the system, but that heavy gunner who's, you know, loading up his pneumatic fist and shoving it into the back of your character's skull, yeah, he's going to show you just how much your cyber deck doesn't matter. So, Dystopia was fun. It was a really great game. I enjoyed the heck out of it. It was one of the first games I've ever donated money to help support. And it was the first game I ever played with my web handle, Null Operations. Now, those of you who follow me on Twitter know that handle. If you've checked out the website at all, you know that handle too. Or if you game with me on Steam, you know that handle. Null Operations is the handle I've been using since 2005. I've known the word since 93, 94? Whenever I picked up the Shadowrun 2nd Edition Manual. Why is it better that when I picked up the Shadowrun 2nd Edition Manual? Because Null Operations is a test for deckers within that game. In fact, I'm going to pause the recording real fast while I go look for that book. Found it. Okay, it wasn't in the Shadowrun 2.0 core book. It was actually in the Shadowrun book, Virtual Realities 2.0. It was kind of the revision of the decking rules that started in the second edition. So, Null Operation. Test, Control, Utility, Deception, Action, Complex. The Game Master may require a decker to perform one or more null operations whenever the decker is waiting for something to happen, whether it's an event on the Matrix, the end of an ongoing operation, or something else that involves hanging around in cyberspace without making a system test. The Game Master may also call for a null operation if a decker is doing anything that requires actions but not system tests, such as maintaining an edit sleeve. The Game Master may secretly perform these operations on behalf of the decker if he so desires. And then it goes into the mechanics of how that happens, which are more boring than the paragraph I just read. Long story short, it's a matrix program in the game that, well, if you're sitting around doing nothing while hacking, the computer randomly pings that you're sitting there. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, I picked up that name. And starting using it in Dystopia, it was an appropriate game to pick up that type of title. And just, you know, had fun with that. Dystopia as a community. Now, this is an important discussion to go into. Because it's kind of the thesis of this whole monthly podcasting thing for me. In that, the community within Dystopia was, at first, a very bright, hopeful, excited community. People who were really enthralled with being there, being in what we thought was the ground floor of the next Team Fortress, the next Counter-Strike. Dystopia was extremely well polished. It was very well done. In general, I mean, the coding team just, they've done wonders. But then, like many groups who, well, you gotta understand, first, the kind of logic behind the way a community is ran within a gaming community. There's two different types of communities. The kind of clan community and the product community, I guess you could call it. A clan community is focused on maintaining order, getting things to work in the general logic within the role structure of that community. But a product community is all about keeping people happy and not really banning people, not really kicking people out, unless they start doing stuff that's extremely bad for the community publicly, such as, you know, unnecessary kind of slang, hate speech, basically the awful stuff that they can't make excuses for. Essentially, a gaming community is going to, a product community is in general going to accept and tolerate a lot more in the way of trolls than a clan or guild will. At least, that's in my experience. And that's what started happening within the Dystopia community. Basically, the people who had been there, whenever we had a spike in population, usually there's some magazine article hitting, or just, you know, somebody finding the right video, or whatever. There was a lot of hate that kind of went out from the community to these new players. Oh, you want this, go back to Counter-Strike, or this, go back to, you know, Team Fortress, whatever, you know. Basically, these were elitist trolls who were essentially pushing people out who were just joining in. And that's, to me, one of the main detractors on the development of Dystopia as functional mod. Because it had a steep learning curve. That whole, you know, kind of Matrix cyberspace action, that's not easy for a new player to pick up, especially a new player who's, well, pretty much just used to Team Fortress or Counter-Strike. You're used to just being told, hey, go kill these guys and you'll win if you do that. Kill enough of those guys to get to this point and you'll win. That's not how Dystopia works. Dystopia required tactics, required understanding how respawn waves went and properly backing people up. Unfortunately, they didn't help new players do that. And so they'd get frustrated and leave. And when it comes to any mod scene, you have to have a healthy player base if you want it to last. If you want it to become big. And Dystopia didn't have that. And I think that's one of the reasons why it didn't become as big as it could have. So, let me highlight a bit more why or how this group kind of became elitist. So, I left, well, it's not so much I left the Dystopia community as much as I joined another group of gamers, briefly, for maybe a year or so, called Tactical Gamer. Now, Tactical Gamer, they're an interesting bunch, at least the Tactical Gamer I knew back then. I don't know how they are nowadays, I can't really, you know, give a judgment on that. But when I used to game with them, their whole logic was community-focused clan, or guild, whatever they wanted to call themselves, community, built around the concept of playing games of a serious tone. What did that mean? That meant that when you played on their servers, you had to play by their rules and logic, in that you couldn't run and gun like you do in most video games. They wanted you to use tactics, and if you didn't, they kicked you from the server. Because to them, tactics were what it was about. If you're jumping around like an idiot, you're going to get yourself killed, and that's not realistic. Yes, we're talking about a video game where the physics are impossible. The amount of energy a character is able to use to do strange, you know, cyberpunky effects doesn't really match to how it would work in actual physics. You know, characters survive, blah, blah, blah. Essentially, they try to apply real-world tactics into a virtual space. And I loved it. It was fascinating. It was different. You had this concept of you had to think before you acted. You couldn't just zerg in and win. You know, you couldn't just throw bodies at a wall and just keep hoping you respawn and keep going. No, you had to listen to someone, whoever was, you know, acting as sergeant at the time, whoever was acting as, you know, squad leader at the time. You had to listen to them. And it was awesome. However, the Alien Leaders Dystopia community didn't think so. They were really negative to Tactical Gamer. And because of that, as Tactical Gamer tried to gain more players in and try to bring more of their community in, they met a lot of hostility from the Dystopia clan player base. And what that eventually led to was the eventual disbanding of the Dystopia group within Tactical Gamer. Now, I would actually go on to join them in their Counter-Strike source servers, and had a lot of fun with that, until it kind of devolved into, well, there was a certain group within Tactical Gamer that didn't care so much about the tactics part of it, and was working to gradually change it. And some of those people became key admins within the Counter-Strike group, and it just felt like just another boring Counter-Strike server again. So there was a good 5 extra minutes after this point in the recording that I lost to whatever that weird kind of robot war belief stuff that happened a few episodes ago. So you kind of get to the end point. When I'm talking about the Counter-Strike community. Basically, I ended up leaving Tactical Gamer shortly afterwards, just because it has become a different group, a different kind of organization than why I joined. And I started to tease in the last 5 minutes of the old recording of what tomorrow's episode is going to be. But since I don't remember exactly what I said, other than that the episode title is going to be Warcraft Privacy, I'm going to leave it at that. And, yeah. So, hopefully I can figure out what that bug is with my recording and keep it from happening again. But for now, I'll see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.